Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and just thank the Lord for a new day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. While you're seated, I want you to raise your hands. I'm going to just pray. The praise team, you may be seated as well. Thank you. Just raise your hands, lift your heads up. I'm just going to pray and get right into this message. We're having some technical problems with the video display. Got me a little distracted and so on because they needed my help with it. We still couldn't get it working right. But don't worry about it. Just focus on the message. Amen? Amen. That's why you got to know how to use your Bibles. Some of you are so dependent on the screens anymore. People don't even bring their Bibles into the service. Well, some days the video may not work, such as today. So maybe they'll figure it out, maybe not. But that's why you use your Bible. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Let's raise our hands and let's pray anymore. Anyway, don't worry about anything else. Don't think about anything right now. Everything else is a distraction. Amen. Put your minds on the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And we give you glory. We know that the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Today I want to talk about your adversary and your advocate. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to get right straight into it. Your adversary is the devil. It's not your neighbor. It's not your brother. And it's not your sister. Amen. And sometimes people are thinking, you know, no. The devil is your adversary. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, you know, be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. Is that what it says in your Bible? You don't have your Bible open, how would you know? How would you know? I don't see you guys have your Bible open because you're looking on the screen. Screen is out today. Forget the screen. Open your Bibles. Praise God. You know, you got to open your Bibles. That's what it does say, you know. Your adversary, the devil, is going around seeking whom he may devour. Well, you know, he's seeking whom he may devour, but he can't devour everybody. Amen? If he could devour everybody, he wouldn't be seeking. He would just be devouring everybody. You kids remember that Pac-Man stuff, just eat everything up. Well, he can't eat everything up. You got to look for the careless ones. You got to look for the ones that are not walking in the light. You got to look for the ones that strayed away from the pack. Got to look at the ones that are not covered with the blood. That's what he's looking for. I mean, and you're not going to be his victim. Amen? Amen. Now, also in Revelation 12 and verse 10, it says also that he is our adversary. In the book of Revelation chapter 10, we are told that our adversary, that devil, I want to read a couple of verses from there, that one. To show us how the Lord also classifies the devil here. I've got to pull it up on this other device here. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to read verses 9 and 10. You know, so when you see the way that the devil is classified here as our adversary, keep that in mind because that's what we want to talk about today. He says, the great dragon, you know, he was cast out. Hallelujah. The old serpent, the devil, you know, even he that destroyed, deceived the whole world. You know, he was cast out. And I said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Hallelujah.
Well, the accuser, I'm not saying hallelujah because he accused us. I'm saying hallelujah because he's cast down. Amen. Hallelujah. The accuser also means your adversary. You go and stand before the judge. You know, you may have an adversary that brings a complaint or files a lawsuit or they file this and that. You know, it's your adversary. You know, he's there to accuse you. And you have to defend yourself. You know, you may also have an advocate. Well, Christ is our advocate. Amen. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, well, if any man sin, he doesn't want us to sin. Say, these things are right unto you that you sin. You know, but just in case any man should sin, he said, well, we have an advocate with the Father, you know, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. He is our advocate. Also, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. I want to read that one. Hebrews 7, 23 to 25. Here it says that, you know, Christ is, you know, the testator of a better covenant. That's what he's talking about here. And he was comparing him with the high priests, that those high priests, they could not continue forever because of death. You know, when one died, another high priest would come in and so forth. However, he said, because Christ lives forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Now, he says, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, this man being Christ, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Because, you know, it says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the one that's making intercession for you is your advocate. The one that is accusing you is your what? That's right. It's your adversary. That's the one that's always accusing you. You know, how does he accuse you? Well, the way... it's actually different than the way people think. You know, people think that the devil just comes to God and say, well, you know, that your daughter did this thing wrong. It doesn't work like that. You know, he brings up something to corner God, even when he's trying to accuse you. You know, he will say, you know, bring up something, corner God, and say, well, you know, are really a righteous God. So you can't do that. You know, you can't give him that because, you know, your law says it this way and they're not exactly believing it. You know, so, you know, you really can't do that. Can you now? You know, and he can have, you know, he has the audacity sometimes to do that and to bring in and say, look, you really can't do that. You can't bless him like that. You know, because it will violate this and that. He'll come up with something. And the Lord will remind him that I'm looking through the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, now, of course, yes, you would have been disqualified, but the blood is what qualifies us before Christ, before the Lord. Amen. So, our accuser is our adversary. Our advocate is the Christ. Well, let me tell you five things. I have more, but I'm just keeping five. I don't want to speak too long today. I'll tell you five things that the devil has happened to the devil. Okay? And I'm going to make it simple for us to remember, because I'm going to do this like a teacher. Make it simple for us to remember. I'm going to start each thing with the letter D, just like that, devil. Amen? So it will make it easy for you to remember that. The devil doesn't like a message like this, but who cares? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you five things, starting with the letter D for devil, that Satan has happened to Satan. Why? The number one thing is not in any particular order. I just wrote them down. Satan has been disgraced. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you some scriptures for that. You know, you have to, you know, don't worry about the screens. You won't get it from the screens, but I'm going to try to read them for you. Satan has been disgraced. Let's look at John chapter 12, verses 31 to 32. John chapter 12, verses 31 to 32. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up, then I will draw all men unto myself. Now, keep that in mind, and then we're going to go here to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 13 to 15 of Colossians chapter 2, and verse. The reason I read that one is to show you that because Jesus said, now the judgment of this world. And this is how he did it. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 13 to 15. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he, Christ, quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. He didn't do it in the corner. Hallelujah. He disgraced him openly. He made a show of the devil and princes, principalities, his cohorts, everything, made a show of them openly and triumph over all of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord a hand clap if you think that he did that. Amen. He disgraced the devil openly. Do it in some corner. And he did it also. You see again how he did it. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, the devil, I love this one. The devil has been dethroned. Hallelujah. The devil sat pretty. And he even said to Christ, he even bragged. He said, look, you know, all these things are mine. You know, all these things are delivered unto me. Well, he stole or usurped or kidnapped or hijacked whatever he got, you know. Well, because of the obedience of Adam, and we see that the devil can boast, and he was boasting to Christ, then Christ said, that's all right. He had a plan. Amen. Amen. A plan to pay the ransom. Yeah. You know how kidnappers and so forth, kidnap people and so forth, ask for ransom? Well, Jesus was going to pay the ransom. And he knew that, well, the devil can have his day until I pay the ransom. Hallelujah. Once I pay the ransom, it's over. Hallelujah. No, Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. When Jesus sent out his disciples, they came back, they said this and that and so forth. You know that, well, you know, we had a lot of fun. Devils cried out, subject to us, and so on. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now Satan said, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. I will do this, I will do that. You know, I sit pretty in the heavenly places. Well, Jesus said, no. You know, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning, you know, from heaven. How many of us know how fast lightning travels? Lightning moves at the speed of light, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
What's the speed of light? 186,000 miles per what? Per second. 186,000 miles. That's how fast Satan was getting away and moved from the power of God. And if you know how to use the power of God, really, that's how fast the devil will get away from there. He will move so far from the power of God, his head will spin. Hallelujah. He has been dethroned. Isaiah chapter 14. You know, I want to expose this about the devil today. You know, and then you take this power, this revelation, and know what you have in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 14 and verses 12 to 15. This one here tells us the secret of Lucifer, you know, back in the day when he thought he had something going. And he did have something going. But unfortunately, you know, pride entered into his heart. How art thou fallen? How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne. Now, he had a throne. I don't know whether God is for real or he had it imagined in his head or whatever. I will exalt my throne where he has been dethroned. Amen. I will exalt my throne, he said, above the stars of God. I will also sit, you know, upon the mount of the congregation. I will sit in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I mean, these are all the imaginations of his heart. You know, I will be like the Most High. That was his first mistake. You will never be like the Most High. Hallelujah. You can do it. You can take anything else in your heart. But the moment, I mean, God was listening to him when he was saying all those things. God's saying, where are you going with that? But now when he said, I will be like the Most High, that's it. That was the final nail that nailed his coffin. Because you will not be like the Most High. Hallelujah. You will not be. He reserved that for a special people who he said, let us make man in our image, that he may be like us. Be like the Christ. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Christ. Romans 8:29. That was in his mind. We will be like the Christ.
Hallelujah.
But not the devil. We will never be like the Most High. And the Lord said, well, you know, you said, I will be like the Most High. I said, no, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Glory to God. And to the sides of the pit. Now, you need to be reminding the devil that his place, hallelujah, is hell and is in the sides of the pit. Don't be afraid of the devil. Well, you should be if you are not covered with the blood. You know, if you are not covered with the blood, and listen, you cannot fight the devil. I'm going to tell you this. You cannot fight the devil on his own turf. You got to pick the arena. When the devil invites you for a fight, say, no, you come here. I'm standing right here in the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come right here. I've got the word. You know, I got this blood thing going. And I got the blood. I got the Holy Ghost going. I'm not coming over there. You come right here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You pick the arena when you are standing in the light. That's right. You don't go with him in the darkness. He'll finish you. You stand in the light. You stand in the word. You take on the shield of faith. And you stand right here. I'm right here. You want some of this? I'm right here. I got the blood.
Hallelujah.
I got the Holy Ghost. And I got the shield of faith. That, you know, resist the devil. You need to be afraid of him. Hallelujah. He has been cut down. Ezekiel chapter 28. verses 17 to 18 talks about the same kind of thing. You know, he said, look, thou hast been in the Eden of God. Well, he got in there somehow, you know. And but let me just read two verses there. Thine heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ezekiel 28 and 17. You know, but he said, look, I'm going to cast you to the ground. I will lay thee down before kings, and so on and so forth. Because you have defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities and all of these things. And he said, you will be brought down, and they will look even narrowly upon you. So the devil has been dethroned. Praise the Lord. Revelation 12, verses 9 to 12, 10, the same place we read. He said, you know, the dragon fought and his angels. Before they tried to fight with Michael and Michael's angels, but their place was found no more in heaven. Hallelujah. Their place was found no more in heaven. Cast out. Now, of course, he came tumbling down to the earth. It's kind of like those comets, you know, and they get out of orbit and they just fall, coming, crashing down into the earth, you know. And some of them happened many, 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 many thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago. Yeah, I mean, there's a crater right here in Winslow, Arizona. You know, they fall. And, Satan fell from heaven. Hallelujah. Because he was cast out. Now, number three, he has been disarmed. You disarm somebody, that means you take away their what they trusted in, disarm him completely. Satan has been disarmed. You know, Jesus himself, he told this story. He said, look, when a strong man keeps his goods, he thinks everything is cool. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, what will he do? First, bind him. Then spoil his goods. And then he will be like nothing. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 to 18, you know, Christ made this declaration. He appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he said this thing. He said, I am he. You know, he said, fear not. I am the first, and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And he put amen to it. And someone say amen.
Amen.
Jesus said amen. You know. And he said, look. And I have the keys of hell and death. How do you think he got the keys of hell and death? You know. He went down and whooped that devil. And he whooped him. Hallelujah. From pillar to post. Got the keys from him. And he delivered those who all their lifetime were subject to fear, bondage because of the fear of death. We're going to read that also in a minute. So we see that Jesus disarmed the devil. Here he said, I got the things that he had, you know, the keys, hell, because he's trying to get as many people into hell as possible, you know, at the power of death. You know, and all of that. But the Lord did something about death. We're going to read that also in a minute. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, let's read verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said that Christ ascended up on high. He led captivity captive. In other words, he went and took all that were in the devil's captivity, got them out of his hands, and raised that higher. got them out of all the dark and lower places. You know, those who were, you know, at one time or the other, trusting in the Lord or whatever, raised paradise higher and set them free. You know, they were no longer there. You know, that's why the thief on the cross, you know, when he died, Jesus said, today, hallelujah, today will be with me in paradise. Glory to God. You know, so he took and led captivity captive. The devil has been defeated. I mean, if disgrace is not enough for you, if dethroned is not enough for you, if disarmed is not enough for you, how about defeated? The devil has been defeated. I mean, the best illustration of this is still in that same Revelation 12. You can read it from verses 7 to 11. There was war in heaven. Hallelujah. And the devil was defeated. He was cast out. Or booted out. You might call it that way. He indeed was defeated and he was booted out. Many other scriptures bear this out, but let me move on. Last but not the least, the devil was also destroyed. You say destroyed? Absolutely. So let's think about it. You know, because the reason why we empower the devil today is because we don't understand these things. Don't understand these things, then you empower the devil. And he can bluff his way through anyhow. If you understand these things, and the devil has been destroyed, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 14, and in particular, you know, verse 14. So let's read Hebrews chapter 2. You know, it says, because Christ needed to redeem man, Christ was not trying to redeem angels. That's why he did not take the nature of angels. He was going to redeem man. So he had to become man and suffer like man in the place of man. You know, for he became him. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And he said, for both he that was sanctified and they that are sanctified are of one, you know, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children, quoting all the prophecies in the scriptures of old that relate to Christ and the sons of God. You know, the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, if the mission was that through his death he might destroy the devil, well, let's see. Did he accomplish that mission? Did he? Well, maybe not. Some of you are not saying yes because you're thinking, well, maybe he didn't accomplish that vision. Did he say on the cross or not that it is finished? Yes. Well, what is finished? Let's read it again in John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, look, for this purpose, what's the purpose? Was the Son of God manifested? That he might do what? Because you don't have your Bibles. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, if that was the purpose by which he came, and if this Hebrews also says that his purpose was to destroy the devil, and if Jesus hanging upon the cross said, it is finished, did he do it? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. He destroyed the devil, folks. The devil has been destroyed. But then you say, well, the devil is to be destroyed. How come then that, you know, this is, well, God has a plan for everything. You know, the plan right now is that you must enforce these things. You and I, we have to enforce these things. Now, the world is not quite yet there. According to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, there's coming a time when the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that will smite the image, destroy all these other kingdoms, and bring one kingdom that shall not be left to other people. Yeah, but it's not quite there. But in the meantime, we as ambassadors of that kingdom that is to come, which we are from heaven, but we live on earth. You are citizens of heaven, but ambassadors on the earth. Now, while you are on the earth, you behave like this. You know that the devil has been destroyed. Hallelujah. You know, and you put him out wherever you see. Look, does the Bible say in Psalm 24 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof or not? Does it say that? What does that mean? That means anywhere you go and you see the devil, he's an illegal alien. Because the earth is my father's, the fullness thereof. So you cast him out of there.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. You can't send him to hell just yet. Oh, no. But you cast him out. When you see him invading the lives of people, you cast him out by the finger of God and by the word of the power of God that's in your mouth. Cast him out. That's how we cast out the devil. We don't cast out the devil by exorcism. No, no. That's never going to work. The seven sons of Sceva found that out. But we cast out the devil by the word of God. The power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. Now, if indeed the Lord said it is finished upon the cross, and he did all these things, why then are we still under, you know, the devil's domain, so to speak? We're not under the devil's domain. We never were, even from the beginning. It was just being introduced to the world and all that. Remember, the beginning God made two great lies. If you remember that. One lie to rule the day. You remember that? And another to rule the night. Well, the night, we are not children of the night. So why should the ruler of the night be ruling over me? I'm not children of the night. We are children of the day. Hallelujah. We are ruled by the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. That's how we are ruled. I'm not under the powers of darkness of this world. That's their thing, but I got my thing going. Hallelujah. I got my thing going. Praise God. Now, let's talk about your advocate, on the other hand. Remember I said the devil is your adversary, which means your accuser. Your advocate is the one that is interceding for you, that is Christ. So, let's talk about some things that Christ has done. Some of them intertwined with the things that I already read about what happened to the devil. But let's see about Christ. Whereas the devil was dethroned, whereas the devil was cast down. Hallelujah. On the other hand, Christ has been exalted. Far above principality and power and dominion and every name that is named. Let's read it in Ephesians chapter 1. I get excited when I talk about that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read it in verses 19 through about 23. Now, remember, we are comparing the adversary, your adversary, with your advocate, who is the champion. Hallelujah. So he's the champion. Ephesians chapter 1, you know, he said, you know, that you may understand the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of the inheritance that is in the saints. That was his prayer. And for you to understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all. Now, is that all? Praise the Lord. All principality. Let's try to say that together. All. That's right. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, whether it's called Lucifer, whether it's called Satan, whether it's called cancer, whether it's called leukemia, whether it's called diabetes, whether it's called heart trouble or heart disease, whatever it is called, every name that, if it has a name, unless it doesn't have a name. Now, if it has a name, the name of Jesus is higher. Amen. Amen. God has highly exalted him, according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9, because of his supreme obedience and of him yielding 100% to the will of the Father. God, even to the death of the cross, which is the shame, most shameful death you could have. Because cursed is everyone that dieth upon or hangs upon the tree. So he took that curse. But because of that, glory to God, the Father has highly exalted him. The law of the curse and the transgression has been broken because the punishment passed upon an innocent man. You can't do that. You cannot put all the sins of the world, turn everything into darkness, and turn the Holy One of God into darkness in a minute. You can't do it. If you did it, and the Father did it. If you did it, and the Father did it, and Christ agreed to it. If you did that, then the real power of punishment has lost its right. Hallelujah. You can't punish the innocent like that. You know, but God did it. And Jesus traded places with us. And today, we are free. Hallelujah. Amen. Far more principality than power. Above every name that is named, whether in heaven or earth or anywhere else, Christ has been exalted above them all. Glory to God. Let's look at some of the other things that Christ has done. Some things that Christ has abolished. Hallelujah. He has abolished in his flesh the enmity that was against us, between us and God. The law of commandments and ordinances and all of these things that were against us, which like we read in Colossians, we're going to read it again. But in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I like the way he puts it in verse 15. He says that, let me just pull it up here, Ephesians 2 and 15. Christ, having abolished in his flesh, remember Jesus said, the ransom that I will pay for the world is my flesh, that I will give for the life of the world. He told them in John chapter 6. You know, he has abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in all kinds of ordinances, you know, but he abolished that for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us don't understand what that is. You know, all the things that they had to go through when they sinned, the rituals, the sacrifices. Sometimes it's a dove, sometimes it's a bull, sometimes it's a goat, sometimes it's a lamb, this and that. You know, well, most of the time not a lamb, but you know, all these things and so forth. You know, but God said one time, showing them an example of what will come, a lamb for an house. Because the lamb of God was to be slain for the entire household of faith. One time, he did this sacrifice and perfected forever all those whom he sanctified. He doesn't have to every year do this thing again. You don't have to do all this stuff again. Christ took care of it. Hallelujah. Now, what did Christ do for us? He brought the grace of God. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 describes it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Amen. Teaching us. Now, this is what the grace teaches you, folks. I'm not here preaching any hyper grace message. This is the real grace message. The grace of God teaches us that we must deny ungodliness and worldly love, and we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is the grace of God. That's what the grace of God teaches us according to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And while you are doing that, you must live a righteous life, a godly life, a holy life, while you are expecting, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can somebody say hallelujah? That's our response to his grace. The real response to the grace of God is that we must deny ungodliness. We must deny all these things and so forth. We cannot say, oh, let grace or let sin continue so that grace won't advance. No. He said, deny ungodliness. Deny all unrighteousness. Live a righteous and sober life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's what Christ has done for us. Now, let me read this to us as well, in case you are wondering what that all means. The foundation of God standeth sure. We are told here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. It's a two-part seal. The first part of this seal is the Lord knows them that are his. That's the first part. The second part of the seal is let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. A two-part seal. And he joins them together by the conjunction word and. He said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let them, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. So that's what the grace of God teaches us. For God has given us the ability to look forward and not having to look behind. Amen. Christ took care of that one. You don't have to worry about that one. You know, now we are looking for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ has also abolished death. Oh yeah, you say abolished death. Why are people always dying still? Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Christ has abolished death. And he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why? Well, the Bible says that he is sitting at the right hand of God, from thence expecting until all his enemies, which he already vanquished, expecting till all of them be made his footstool. The last one to be destroyed is death. But he has already destroyed it. You know, and if you know how to enforce this and figure it out, like Enoch did, you know, Adam, he told everybody, including Enoch, he told all the six generations that were before Enoch. Adam overlapped them in many years. They asked him the question and he told them, we're just waiting to die. Because God told us that we will die. And so we are going to die. It's just a matter of time. We're going to die. And he said, what are those cherubims with the flaming sword? They were, God has locked up the place. You can't go in there. Why not? And on and on. The rest of them didn't ask any of those questions. But I guarantee you, Enoch, well, I need to go in there. Because they heard the story that the tree of life is there somehow. But God banished them. You mean, you had opportunity to eat of the tree of life, and you didn't? But I said, well, whatever, you know, this and that. I gotta get in there. Son, you can't go in there. It is locked up. We're just waiting to die. And Enoch said, well, I'm either going in there, or what's in there is coming out to me. But one way or another, I'm going to figure this thing out. Hallelujah. And he began to work with God. He began to pursue God. It took him 300 years. But he figured it out. Hallelujah. He figured it out that, look, you know, God did say you're going to die. But, you know, if you get changed into light, you might just outpace the rate of the spirit of darkness and death that is in our lineage. The darkness creeping up on them. Their years began to shorten. And Enoch found out how to outpace that by being chained to light. 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 The closer he got towards that light, the farther away he got from the darkness. One day, he was completely light and he was gone. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Some people don't believe that that's in the Bible, but it is in the Bible. The book of Hebrews, you will read that Enoch was translated in Hebrews 11:5 that he should not see death. Till this day, Enoch is still alive. How many of you say amen to that? God left that witness there. God also left the witness. Elijah was even more dramatic. You know, we don't know how Enoch went. But Elijah, this man, is something else. You know, he's going to get an entourage from heaven. Chariots of fire. I'm going to come for him. Glory to God. And he's going to say, and he's trying to ditch Elisha. To ditch him. I'm going to go over here. I said, no way. I said, well, you know. And everybody knew it. Even the sons of the prophets, they knew it. This man was something else. And he's still alive to you today. Hallelujah. By the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, God has a plan for Elijah, though. But anyway, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, we see that it's actually possible to defeat death. Now, and I guarantee you, it's just because you haven't heard, but there is no, you cannot prove to me, I can't prove to you, but neither can you prove to me that there is nobody else that has gone like Enoch. You know, I can't prove it to you because I don't know, but you can't prove to me too that it didn't happen, because just because you didn't know it doesn't mean it didn't happen. You know, I know for a fact. Let God be true, and every man a what? A liar. Now, everybody can continue to die, but still this scripture. Let me tell you something about the scriptures. Jesus said, the scriptures will never, not one jot or one tittle of any scripture will be fall to the ground without being fulfilled. That means if there is something in this scripture that you think has not yet been fulfilled, there remaineth yet the fulfillment of that scripture. Amen. Because Jesus said every scripture must be fulfilled. So there remaineth a people that must believe this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, at the translation of the church, when Christ comes, we know that there will be a people that will actually leave the earth without seeing them. Because the Bible says so. So this story or this myth about it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's a myth that people think that it means that everybody will die. No, but he's saying that when you die that kind of death, you're going to judgment. You know, but there will be some people, for we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. At the trump, at the last trumpet, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then we which are alive and remain. Alive and remain. You better remain. Jesus said, abide in me, because you cannot without me do anything. And in John chapter 15, he told them, if you don't abide in me, you'll be cast forth as a branch. Withered away, and men will gather them and cast them in the fire. Now these were branches in him, folks. Because he said, my father is the husbandman. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And every branch in me that bringeth fruit, my Father will prune it so it can bring forth more fruit. But every branch in me that is not producing what I'm looking for, they will be withered away and cast forth as a dead branch. And it's never a good story for a dead branch. So Jesus has abolished death. And one day, hallelujah, it is our expectation that one day we will experience that. Hallelujah. And unto him that look for him, unto them that look for him, that he appeared the second time without death. Glory to God. So let's wait for him. Amen. Now, let me tell you also something else that Christ has done. He has given believers the authority over the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power. Hallelujah. Over all the power of the enemy. That's not some of the power of the enemy. That's over all the power of the enemy. And nothing that by any means hurts you. Glory to God. Jesus gave that to believers. And we must enforce that. Now let me quickly, I have a few minutes left. Let me quickly tell you the role of the believers in all of this. We've seen that our adversary has been vanquished. We've seen that the advocate has gotten the victory. And he's still at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Glory to God. Now, is he making intercession for us? Well, absolutely. Now, what is our role then? Well, first we must understand that we are no more in darkness. But now we are in the light. As a matter of fact, we are no more darkness. But now we are light. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. He says that ye, glory to God, ye who are sometimes darkness, not just that you are in darkness, you yourself, you were darkness. Now, in Colossians 1:13, it says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We understand that. But this scripture is even more powerful. It says that we were sometimes darkness. Not just in darkness, but we were the very darkness. You know, it says, ye who are sometimes darkness, but now, not just that you are in the light, but now you have become light. You were darkness, but you are now light. Glory to God. Light in the Lord. That therefore, walk ye as children of light. So we are no longer in the darkness. We are no more even darkness. We are light now. So we need to conduct ourselves in such manner. Amen. We need to recognize also that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In fact, Jesus, when he was praying in John chapter 17, he prayed that same prayer. He said, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have given to them. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 17, that not only are we heirs of God, but we are joint heirs with Christ. The Holy Spirit bears witness with us, within our spirit, that we are the children of God. Does the Spirit of God bear witness in your spirit that you are a child of God? Does it? Are you a child of God? Not everybody is a child of God, folks. And people always say, oh, we are all children of God. Oh, the world, they are all children. They are not children of God. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus came and said, you are of your father, the devil. Told them. Look, stop saying the things that the Bible doesn't say. Bible doesn't say the whole world are children of God. Bible never said that. But people say that, but they are trying to please everybody. Oh, we are all children of God. We are not all children of God. You become a child of God according to John chapter 1 and verse 12. For as many as receive him, he gave them the power to become a child or a son of God. That's how you become. Hallelujah. But, and there's a process to that becoming as well. But let me leave that alone right now. Now, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, if you are a child of God, then you are an heir of God, because the child obtains inheritance from the father. And if you are a heir of God, then you are a joint heir with Christ. And somebody take care. You are a joint heir with Christ. That means that everything that Christ possesses. And what does Christ possess? Well, you have to read it in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Because there was some book, mysterious book, that was sealed with seven seals, had some writings on the inside, and John was figuring out, we need to figure out what's in the contents of this book. Right? And there was nobody. In fact, they made an announcement. Hear ye, all ye who hear. Step forward if you are able. And John waited, waited, and waited. There was no apostle. There was no prophet. There was no evangelist. There was no pastor or teacher. There was no angel or even archangel or anybody that was found worthy to even look upon the book, let alone open the seals. But when he began to cry, one person said, hold on now. Don't weep anymore. Weep no more, for there is somebody. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Who has prevailed to take the book. And this book, well, when we got to open it, God showed us some things, but there's more in that book. It's the title deed. Christ, the firstborn among all creation. He got the birthright. As the firstborn has the birthright. He got the birthright. And everything that he has, all that the Father has is mine. And the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And then he said a couple of marvelous things to us. He said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 21, he said, to him that overcometh, glory to God. Are you still with me? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. What does it mean to sit in the throne? If you sit in the throne, remember the devil has been dethroned and Christ has been exalted. And Christ is above principalities and powers. And now he says to you and to me, if you overcome, I will grant you to sit with me in my throne. Hallelujah. Even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. Say, well, that must be a large throne for everybody to sit in it. Well, the heaven are his throne. And the earth is his footstool. And we are already placed in heavenly places with him. In a way, we are already seated with him in his throne. But we must continue to the end. Because he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And he also says here in Revelation 21 and verse 7. I love this one. To him that overcometh. This was one of the final sayings in the book of Revelation. To him that overcometh. And he that overcometh rather shall inherit all things. Hallelujah. He that overcometh, Revelation 21 and 7, shall inherit all things, because all that the Father hath is mine. And I will give it to who that overcomes. Who inherit all things with me, because we are joint heirs with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he shall be my son, and I will be his God. Now, All of these are marvelous things. We have been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2 and 6. You know. And we have been given power over the devil. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. But let me say something else that is a companion with his glory. Something that is a companion with his glory is the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. You can't do it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29 says, it is given unto you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer with him. You can't do it, folks. You know, Jesus put them on the way to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. He called them fools. When they said, well, why did Christ have to suffer all this? He said, oh, ye fools, didn't you know that in order for Christ to enter into his glory, the road to glory is through these sufferings? Slow to understand all that the prophets have written. You know. So, here's the exhortation to you today. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, also verse 12. For all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't avoid that, folks. And persecution comes in so many ways. He says in the book of Hebrews 13, let us go outside the camp, without the gate, outside these four walls. Yeah, in these four walls, nobody is persecuting you. It's all cool. You can come out here, shout the victory, jump up and down, praise the name of the Lord. That's all good. But when you go to your workplace, when you go to the marketplace, are you going to shy away from an opportunity to give a shout to the Lord? Every chance you get, it's not just about going on the street and telling people, you know, whether they want to give their life to Christ. That's good. But it's also wherever you are, we are called to be witnesses. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Wherever you are, on your job, in your neighborhood, everywhere, any chance you get, give a shout out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said, sirs, I believe God. You know, say it on your job. I believe God. Hallelujah. You have the right to say that. Did you know that? Constitution guarantees the right of that. We thank God for the United States. You know, if you think you have the right to throw rubbish in my face, I have the right to not refuse your rubbish. I have the right to refuse your rubbish. You don't have to throw rubbish in my face. You know, I have the right to proclaim my faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't proclaim the faith, but maybe God will raise up stones. We don't want stones to take our place. Now let's stand up to our feet. Your adversary is the devil. Your advocate is the Lord. And we see how the Lord has vanquished the devil. We see what he has purchased for us. But there are some responsibilities that we have. I'm going to leave it there today on account of time. But meditate on these things. You know, now that we know that the devil has been destroyed, lift up your hand and let's pray. Now you pray for yourself. Pray a different kind of prayer. You know, all these things about, oh, you know, the devil is doing this, the devil is doing that. Forget what the devil is doing. He has been destroyed. He has been vanquished. Enter into your own possession. The days come, saith the Lord, that the house of Joseph shall possess their possession. They will be like a flame. They will kindle a fire and burn the house of Edom and the house of Esau, saith the Lord. This be the day that the people of God get into their own. Remember, the Lord said, this is the year that you will emerge. Yes, yes. This is part of the emerging. Emerging into the victory that the Lord has already given us. And be no longer entangled with the yoke of bondage. Don't put your neck under the yoke of bondage anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray together. I say unto everyone that is in here today, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, shake yourself from the dust. According to Isaiah 52 and verse 2, loose yourself from the bands around your neck, thou captive daughter of Zion. Put your neck under that. Snap out of it already. The Lord has given you the victory. Walk in the victory that the Lord has given. In the name of Jesus. One of the things that the Lord had destroyed You know, is he that had a power over death, making people afraid of these things. Jesus has also taken away our sicknesses and our all of that. Nailed everything to the cross. According to Isaiah 53 and verse 5, and according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, by whose stripes ye were already healed. Now, if you need healing here this morning, just claim it. Walk in that victory. Glory to God. Say to the Lord that I thank you for my healing. Because you already done it. Glory to God. Now, the devil would like to make you believe that you don't have that victory, but you got it. Hallelujah. And sometimes we'll be tested. Your faith will be pushed to the limit, but don't give an inch. Hallelujah. Stay right there. Do not give an inch until the devil goes down to hell. Stay right there with the word of God and claim your victory. Father, we thank you for everyone. The praise team may come up. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today believing the word of God. We thank you for the victory that you have purchased for us. We thank you for the name of the Lord that is higher than every name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you now understood all these things? That's what Jesus asked. If you understood all these things, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. If you understood these things, let's give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you.